Psalm 128. So the title of the message today is A Good Dad, or more specifically, Am I a Good Dad? Shall we pray together? Father, thank you for the privilege of being able to open the Word of God and share it with folks. Thank you for a place to meet. Thank you for the hospitality of the Event Center and Crystal especially. Thank you, Lord, that you've met all of our needs. You've protected us over this last year from the virus. You've granted us the ability to make a living, care for our families, and still to worship God. And all these favors, we're so very grateful. Thank you for being a good father who provides and protects his children every single day. It really is a privilege to serve you. Now, Lord, we direct our thoughts to you and to your word. Lord, we pray that your word would just sift up and just be real clear and be a wonderfully good meal for the people of God. Especially for dads, Lord, we pray for their encouragement. All of us have an impact still on our living children. And so, Lord, grant that we would be encouraged in our responsibilities and also the benefits or blessings of doing so. Thank you, Lord, for this hour. Pray your blessing on each one. Thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. So, am I a good father? What a sobering question that is. I think most men in this room would say, I want to be that. I want to be a good father to my children. I don't want to just father children. I want to be a good father to my children. But in a day of fatherhood absenteeism, it may be that we have set the bar far too low when it comes to fatherhood. But when we turn the pages of Scripture, we find that God doesn't lower the bar to accommodate our culture or our human frailties. He raises the bar and then asks us to man up. So that's what this message is about. Since God is behind this whole idea of having babies and raising families, maybe He has the best idea about how fatherhood should work. And so we're going to look at Scripture today to find some instructions about what it means to be a good father, and even more so and more precisely to the point of the message, what are the blessings that come to somebody who really makes an effort at being a good father? So if I could subtitle the message, I would call it Blessings That Belong to a Good Dad. Let's look at Psalm 128, where we find these blessings. It begins this way. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. You know, this psalm starts where I like to be. I want to be blessed. I think most of us would say I want to be blessed. And so how can I be blessed? And right off the bat, in the first verse, it tells us the kind of people, or kind of fathers, especially good men, that God will bless. In fact, this blessing is really the theme of the whole psalm. It appears, the same word in Hebrew, appears four times in the psalm. It's the very first word, blessed. Obviously, verse 2 has happy. And then again in verses 4 and 5, we find the word blessing again. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. And so you got this emphasis on blessing in the psalm. And that's really what I want to get after. There is a blessing by being a good dad. And when I say blessing, we're talking about the divine favors that God sends to his people. We do believe that God unusually blesses or favors some more than others. And I want to be in the path of that blessing. So who? What kind of man, what kind of father enjoys that kind of blessing? And it tells us in verse number 1, he is a man who feareth the Lord, and walketh in his ways. Let's look at those two words. They're coming up on the screen, fears the Lord. We're talking about someone that has a respect for and a reverence for the Lord. And coupled with that, also the sense of dread that if I step out of line, I might be in trouble with God. If I could boil the word fear the Lord down, I've mentioned this before. It just means to take God seriously. When God says something, I believe it and I live by it. That's a person who fears the Lord. and also walks in his ways. This has to do with the flip side of the same coin. If you really take God seriously, then you're attentive to what he says, and you try to obey his word with your life. You know, this applies to every person in this room. In fact, the text says, everyone that fears the Lord and walketh in his ways. Every person in this room has the choice of whether or not they're going to take God seriously and follow his rules for living. Will you fear God and follow him? I hope you will. But some dads at this point kind of give up. They're ready to turn back. That barbell is a little bit too heavy to carry. But if you don't drop the bar, there are a bunch of blessings to be found when you take raising your children and leading your home seriously. So what are the blessings that belong to good dads? That's what we want to pick apart from this psalm in the next few verses together and the remainder of our time. And we're going to start at verse number 2. If you're fearing the Lord and following his ways, verse number 2 has the first blessing. And in fact, all the blessings I'm going to give you, and I've enumerated 3 of them, they all have this word shall or shout. They're promise words. And the first promise word is found in verse number 2. And it says, and it's on the screen coming up for you, Psalm 128, verse number 2, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. The first blessing that comes to good dads who take God seriously and walk in his ways is wellness at work. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hand. You know, men find a great deal of satisfaction typically in their work. They're able to do something with their hands or their minds, and they get a great deal of satisfaction about doing the job, or at least about the amount of money they're raking in while doing it. And so the good dad, though, he works hard too, but he has different goals in mind, and he enjoys better returns. What am I talking about? Well, verse number 2 says, he shall eat the labor of thine hands. And so, letter A here, wellness at work means I'm able to eat. There's gratefulness that I'm able to eat. The words literally say, he shall eat the labor of his hands. You know, we don't normally think of that. We work, money goes into an account. We go and draw off of that account. We buy our groceries. But do we often connect our work with the food on our table? It was that way in agricultural cultures where everything kind of grew out of the ground and it came from the ground to your table. We don't often make that connection today, but it's a blessing when you can work and eat from the returns. This really is something if you think about it. Because you and I both know that just because you work hard doesn't mean there's going to be a profit. All kinds of things can get in the way, like pandemic lockdowns and higher taxes. And unexpected expenses like a medical bill for you or somebody in your family. This was especially true in ancient times where everything depended on the crop that year. And if there was a famine, it was serious. And if that famine lasted more than a year, that might really be the end of that family because there wasn't anything to put on the table. This reminded me as I was studying this week, able to eat. There have been times in Israel's history where that was very challenging. I'm thinking of the times of the judges. Sometimes because Israel was unfaithful to the Lord, he sent their enemies in. And you know when the enemies showed up? Just about harvest time. Just about the time that the grapes were ripening or the wheat was coming into full kernel and it was time to harvest that stuff, they would come in and they would clean out the crops and leave Israel with almost no food at all. And that result, and as you know, an army marches on its stomachs. And so if you leave a nation without food, you can pretty much guarantee they're not going to be chasing you down to overthrow the enemy. But more so than that, you just almost put that nation on the verge of starvation. This happened in the days of Gideon. We'll go to the next slide. In Gideon's day, we read about this with the Midianites. And remember Gideon, when the Lord finds him, what's he doing? He's threshing wheat in an unusual place. Instead on the heights of the hills where everybody could see him, he's doing it in a wine press. And the scripture says, next click please, in Judges chapter 6 and verse 3, and so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up and the Amalekites and the children of the east even they came up against them and they encamped against them. And notice this, they destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and they left no sustenance for Israel. And on top of that, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. So they couldn't even depend on the milk or the cheeses or the cream that would come from these beasts, which was really the livelihood and the sustenance on the table for these families. But you know what? God constantly reminded his people in the Old Testament that he's strong, that he's able to provide for them. And if they would obey him and follow his rules, which goes back to verse number 1, fear the Lord, walk in his ways. We find this in Israel's history. He enabled Israel to chase away their enemies and run them out of the land when they were faithful, when they were the right kind of people. Then God gave them the ability to eat. When they weren't, he took it away. You know, it led me to think about this. A lot of men today suffer from self-inflicted wounds. Instead of fearing God and following him, a man, husband, father, neglects his duties to God and to his family and does his own thing. Doesn't go to church, doesn't read his Bible, doesn't pray, doesn't expect God to do anything for him. And then he wonders why the job falls through. The car stops working and the wife walks out. God is able to put food on your table, but he's also able to tighten up your supply line if you're not giving him any attention. So the good dad knows that it's up to God to put food on the table, and he's grateful when God does, and he bows his head to give thanks, which is what a godly home does. We bow before a meal to give thanks to the God who put the food on the table. The book of Proverbs says, Proverbs, next slide, 27, verse 27, and thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food. Now, if any of you had goat's milk, confess your sin. There is a very strong flavor to goat's milk. I had it as a kid. And whenever it came in the house, I was always happy to share my portion with someone else. So, and if you've had goat's milk, you understand there's a lot of goat in that milk. But there's a blessing promised in Proverbs here. If you follow the Lord, thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance of thy maidens. God provides food from the work of the hands of faithful men and families. The second part of verse number 2 also says we're able to enjoy it. This reminds us of an additional blessing, the sweet rewards of labor. Many men today don't count work a blessing, but it is a blessing to be able to work. Often today we count it as a curse. Oh, I got to go to work. Oh, I had to work 40 hours this week. Oh, they made me work overtime. I had to work 48 hours this week. Oh, boy. But work is a good thing. It came before the fall. Sure, there's sweat and strain involved in work today, but it was a blessing given to mankind before the fall. It's always been part of God's plan, and it's a way that God blesses us when he enables us to work. Sometimes we'll be sitting around the table and we're having a great meal because my wife's a great cook. And I'm enjoying not just the meal, it's satisfying my hunger because my stomach's been doing somersaults for the last, 30 minutes before it's lunchtime. You know, that kind of reminds you it's time. And I'm being satisfied by the meal, but I'm also listening to our boys. And so we'll go to the next slide, picture my family. And so we're enjoying a meal together. And one of my boys will be sharing experience with something that's going on in his life or what he's seen or what he read or what he heard. And I'll just be for a moment, just have like an out of conversation experience. And I'm just kind of witnessing the interaction going on at the table and the delight in eyes as they're being able to share and the interest of others who are asking questions. And just for a moment in time, I just feel like I am like the most blessed man on planet Earth. That doesn't mean I feel that every single minute of the day, but there are moments around the table especially when I have felt that. And I realize there are so many factors that have made that moment in time possible. You think about it, God's provided a wife, and then God enabled us to have children. That doesn't always happen. And then God enabled my wife to be able to cook, and it's a good thing that she can because I don't do very well in that department. And then he's given me teens who actually like to talk with their parents and don't grab their food in the kitchen and run and eat it somewhere else. And so for a few seconds, I just feel like the happiest man on planet Earth. And I'm eating in that moment much more than a meal. I'm eating up the fellowship of my family and enjoying the blessing of God on my home. This is a simple pleasure of life. So when the psalmist says, if you fear God and you walk in his ways, he gives you the ability not just to eat, but able to enjoy the bounty of your harvest and of your work. Now let me offer a word of caution here. This psalm is not a rabbit's foot against all evil. Good and godly men do suffer tragedy. We'll take another click. One of the best examples of this, of course, is Job. You know, Job was a father. He had 10 children, 7 sons and 3 daughters. He was also a God-fearing man, one who feared God, Job 1:1, and eschewed or hated, avoided evil. And he worshiped God daily. It says he would make an altar and he would talk to God daily. And he would even talk to God about his kids and make sure they were all covered just in case they had done something that they shouldn't have. What a doting and a godly father Job was. Yet God allowed this godly father to suffer. So just because you walk with God and follow God doesn't mean that you're going to be without difficulty or suffering. Job is a classic example of this. Tragedy came to his home, greater than most of us will ever see. But you know what the good thing about Job is? And what I want to sink into your mind today is, what happened to Job in Job chapter 1 and verse 2 is not the end of the story. When you're a righteous man and you're a godly man and you're one who fears God and you follow his ways, there is something else coming at the end of the story. And this is what we read about Job. Next click, please. Job 42 and verse 12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. And this is my hope and my confidence from Scripture. When you walk with God, though you may go through periods of suffering, the end of the matter is greater than the beginning. So tragedy and disappointment may befall godly men and has at times men in this church. But the difference is always how the story ends. When an unrighteous man suffers tragedy, that is the end of the story. That is the judgment of the Lord upon his life. But a godly man, a righteous man, enjoys blessing in his latter days. This is the very heart of Christianity. This is our hope. We don't believe, as Christians, that death is the end. We believe that that is a pass into the presence of God and much far greater blessing than anything in this life than we've ever known. The end of the matter is the better thing for the righteous man. Number two, another blessing, also tied to this word shall, comes in verse number 3, and this is fruitfulness in family. Good dads have fruitfulness in their families. I pick the word because I find it in verse number 3, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house. Notice that word shall is there again. In most cases, God has set the system up that when couples marry, they're able to produce children. But sometimes, because of the curse of sin, that doesn't always happen. My wife and I were discussing that just briefly this morning about how some of our dear friends have not been able or have had great difficulty having children. That's part of the curse and part of the weakness of our flesh. It's a heavy burden. But God's normal plan is for wives and husbands to marry and to have children. And what a blessing this is. Fruitfulness in the family. Let's go to the next slide. We're going to talk about children being a blessing. How are children a blessing to a man? Hey, or a family or a couple? Because they keep the couple from being self-centered, number one. Number two, they help provide for the father's business. You know, this is especially true in an agricultural community. To have extra farmhands was a good thing. But you know, I have really benefited from that being a pastor, because my sons, all of their hands are involved bringing in pianos and speakers and microphones and equipment and tripods and cameras and video feeds. And they have helped and been a blessing in the family business. Number three, they extend the legacy of the home beyond a single lifetime. You know, it's great to have a godly mom. It's great to have a godly dad. It's even better to have godly children so they can extend the reach of God's grace into the next generation. This is all fruitfulness that God gives from a wife who can bear and give her husband children. And she's by the sides of his house, suggests loyalty. She's inside the home. She doesn't fear domestic duties. How good of God to bless a man with a fruitful wife. And also it says here in verse number 3, fruitful children, thy children like olive plants around about thy table. Children are fruitful too, but here they are so in a different way. It's olive plants. Olives were a cash crop for Israel, and they grew especially well in the arid regions of Judah. You might probably recall the Garden of Gethsemane, which is a word that means olive press. And so Jesus went out into the olive grove the night before he was crucified to pray. But olives were a cash crop, and they used them both as fruit to eat, and then they could press them into oil. They could sell them, and the needs of the family could be provided through that. Now, it's interesting to me, it depends on the variety of olive, but an olive tree can take between 5 and 12 years to reach maturity and to start bearing fruit. That means that when it comes to olives, there's a lot of cultivating and a lot of waiting before you get any fruit. What a great analogy for children. There's a lot of cultivating and a lot of waiting. But eventually, you get fruit. You get a crop. And in the case of an olive tree, by the way, there is a slide for that, so just go one more and get a picture. An olive tree, 5 to 12 years before it starts bearing fruit, when it reaches maturity, and then after that, it can bear fruit for centuries. The peak time up to about 65 to 80 years, and then after that it starts declining. But a wonderful picture of kids, 5 to 12 years of investment in cultivating and teaching, and then a lifetime, 65 or 80 years of great fruitfulness. So this is the promise then of productive or fruitful children, ones that bring a handsome return on the father's investment. You know, fatherhood isn't just about having sons and daughters. It's about commitment. It's about cultivation. It's about investing time. And the patient cultivation of young hearts does pay dividends in time. But we have to stick with it, not neglect our duties at home. And I talk about that, I say that, and I'm already thinking, you know, there must be at times heavy weights on some men, maybe some in this room. You did your best at fathering, but your kids are not living up to the productiveness that you had hoped for. So there's some regrets. If only you could go back and redo or reclaim some hours or days with a son or daughter. And so to the father who has some regrets today or some heartache, I just want to remind you that the greatest father ever, who birthed the Jewish nation and instructed them and gave him his law on Mount Sinai and told them the way in which they should walk, watched as he not only brought them through the wilderness, planted them in the land, gave them walled cities to live in that they didn't even have to build, and groves of trees, fruit trees that they didn't even have to plant, that they could eat from right away. You know what those folks did? They turned away from the Lord. They went after other gods. Next slide. Regrets. So the pain you feel in your heart as a father is known to God. So let him be a sounding board for your soul. Pour out your frustrations and failures about your own kids to him. He understands more than you think. And one more thing. If you have a wayward son or daughter or granddaughter, grandson, as long as they're alive, there's still hope that they will find their way back to God and bear better fruit in the days ahead. It always is possible. Fathers who fear the Lord and walk in his ways can know the wellness of a job well done. And number 2, fruitfulness in their families. And finally, the last stanza, which is in verses 5 and 6, points to another blessing, the goodness that God promises a man reaches beyond his house and beyond his own generation. Notice verses 5 and 6. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children. Peace upon Israel. So again, we see the key word shout. The Lord shall bless thee. Thou shalt see the goodness of Jerusalem. Thou shalt see thy children's children. Goodness for generations. Point number 3, letter A, on the nation. You shall see the good of Jerusalem. You know, when a man takes God seriously, follows his ways, his impact is much greater than he thinks. All he thinks is, I'm raising my family, I'm just paying the bills, I'm just trying to get them to church, I'm trying to get them to follow God, and all. Boy, I'm barely keeping my head above water. I mean, and some days and weeks and months and years feel like that. But you are doing more. You're having an impact on the whole nation. You will see the good of Jerusalem because of your faithfulness to fear God and follow His ways. Now, I got to meditating on this a little bit. Did you ever think that your fathering could have an impact on the whole nation? That isn't even possible. That's hypothetical. That's just an idea of the psalmist. Do you think about it? Can you have an impact on your whole nation? Yeah, we live at a different time and we live at a different day. And our capital isn't Jerusalem, it's Washington, but we can still have an impact that's just as huge. How so? Let me give you some ideas. Next slide. Number one, you are not presently, if you're following God, part of the wickedness that our nation has to police. Right there, you're a blessing to your nation. There isn't a police officer, a constable, standing at your door arresting you and taking you off and making your family fatherless because you're doing right, because you're fearing God and following His ways. So you're not a blight to your nation. Number two, you curb wickedness from spreading to the next generation through your kids, so that crime doesn't grow generationally, because you're raising children who want to follow God and do what's right. Number three, you also, when you're faithful, you encourage other dads to stay in the game and to fight for their families. You can have an impact that's much bigger than you think on the whole nation. Can I say this? Being a good dad is of greater importance than holding a seat in Washington. Can I say that again? Being a good dad and faithful to the Lord in your home is more important than having a seat in Washington. In fact, far too many men and women have risen to national prominence on the stage in Washington at the expense of their families. So be faithful in your home can have a great impact on the nation. The psalmist finishes in verse number 6 saying, thou shalt see thy children's children. On the grandchildren, your reach goes beyond your life, beyond your children, to the grandchildren. Some of you are enjoying the fruit of this right now. You're seeing your grandchildren. How neat is that? That's a blessing from the Lord. Not everyone lives that long. Not everyone has that opportunity. What a blessing from the Lord. And being able to see the goodness of God multi-generationally. In your life, He's been faithful to answer prayer. And then in your kids' life, He's been faithful to answer prayer. And then you see your grandchildren going on for God. What a joy that is! The goodness of God can be multi-generational. And it really is at least two blessings implied in this. Number one, that you live long enough to see that. That's a long life because you're fearing God and you're following His ways. And number two, you have an opportunity to impact that next generation, that grandchild, for the Lord, and perpetuating God's goodness into a life that will outlive yours. This brings up an idea that I was introduced to about 25 years ago, and it's called blue blood. Next screen, please. Blue blood. Now, typically what we mean by blue blood is that somebody has aristocracy or nobility at their birth. We call that blue blood. But I had a preacher some years ago try to spin it around and give it a spiritual application, because you're passing godliness from your generation down to that generation and from that generation to the next generation. And so then you have this multi-generational influence of faithfulness to the Lord, generation after generation after generation. And he called that blue blood. Now, all of us know that we don't bleed blue blood, but what a legacy it would be for each of us to have blue blood running through our families, and we could say, and that grandchild's living for the Lord, and that great-grandchild's going on for the Lord because of your faithfulness. You see, your life matters. Whether you fear God and follow Him and walk in His ways has an impact that's far beyond your lifetime. It can impact your whole nation, and even more importantly, multi-generationally through your family, blue blood. A line of unbroken faithfulness to God running through your family tree. When I became a pastor, or started training for ministry, my grandmother, Dorothy, she encouraged me in a phone call, and she said, "Now, about four generations back, maybe it was five, back in the 1800s, there were a group of family members on my side. All five brothers were preachers." But she had to go back a bunch of generations to find them in our family. I'd be the first in a long bit. But if I walk with God and I fear Him, and I follow Him, it's possible for that to pass on generation to generation to generation without gaps. But can I say this? You can't pass on something you don't have. You can't pass on blue blood unless you have blue blood. And by that I mean, are you certain the God of the Bible is your God? Are you certain that your sin is forgiven, that Jesus is your Savior? That's how you get into the family of God. That's how you get blue blood coursing through your veins, is you have a relationship with God that starts by making Jesus Christ your Savior. And then furthermore, are you seeking to live out what verse 1 is about? Man, I know this is high five day, this is daddy hug day, this is take dad to lunch day. I get all that. I like that part of Father's Day. But Father's Day is more than that. Father's Day is being the kind of person that you need to be in your family 365 days of the year because you take God seriously. And it isn't just something you talk about or you let the preacher talk about at church. It is something you do. You live it out. So I want to encourage the men in this, if you haven't already done so, start a family tree that's dripping blue blood. And it drips from your veins into the veins of your kids and then into your veins of your grandkids. We want to exist to help you with that. If you're having trouble, you don't know how to get this blue blood, and you don't have a relationship with God, and you'd like to, we can help you. This is what we exist for. We want to help you pass on to you what God has given to us so you can pass it on to your kids and grandkids multi-generationally. Good dads, they're in short supply, but if we could get some, all the blessings you would know. If you would decide to fear God and follow His ways, you can enjoy these blessings and then a legacy that really outlives your life. Whether or not your name is in a history book or on a monument doesn't matter. What matters is if the God that you serve had made it through to your kids and then through to your grandkids. Men, I want to encourage you to renew your commitment to being a dad today. Relish the opportunity, embrace the challenges, and receive from God's hand the blessings. How desperately we need dads who take God seriously. And it might just come down, being a good dad might just come down to your pants. Story goes that two wives were in a laundromat. As their wash was washing, they were mending some clothes. Both ladies had a set of pants in their hands and they were mending them. Actually, they're the pants of their husbands. One woman said, "You know, my husband is so miserable. Nothing goes right for him at work. And he can't find anything good on television. Our home is often just a place of gloom. And the church doesn't help. The song leader is terrible and the pastor is a joke." Ouch. The other wife, she continued to mend. She said, "My husband is so excited. He can't wait to get to church. He loves the sermons. We laugh all the time and enjoy being together with family." Then it got quiet in the laundromat. All they could hear was the rumble of the wash machines. and the dryers. The women went back to sewing the pants. One woman was patching the seat of the pants, and the other woman patching the knees. Which set of pants are you in? Oh God, please help us to be godly men who leave a godly legacy on our homes. And grant, oh Father, that we would enjoy the blessings that you promise in this psalm to those who fear you and follow your ways. Help us to know the enjoyment and delight of eating from our work, enjoying a fruitful family, and then a multi-generational impact of God's goodness through our lives on others. Lord, thank you for the men in this room. I know many strive and are seeking to take you seriously and follow your ways. May this be an encouragement to continue the job and to do it well. Lord, may we not just talk about it on Sundays or look the part on Sundays, but may we live in communion with you so that we enjoy the benefits of following you on our homes. God, thank you for challenging us through this message. Continue your work in each heart, we pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And God, touch your heart, Dad. Would you talk to him about it? Maybe God just helped you to realize what a joy it is just to be able to sit with your kids or to talk with them on the phone today, that they still talk to you. Thank God for that. That God gave you a fruitful family, that you were able to bear children and influence them for the Lord. Maybe you're a father today with some regrets. You're some kids who just didn't go quite the way you anticipated. Would you just reach out to a God who understands, because he had kids that were rebellious too and didn't track after him. Certainly there wasn't any problem with his parenting. Would you just talk to him about that and pour out your heart and let him know the burden of your soul about your son or daughter? Maybe it's a grandchild. Maybe there's another way God wants you to respond. So many different things that God might have touched your heart with. As a pianist plays through a song, I'm just going to ask you, please, talk to God about fathering. It is a big job, but God can help you be a good dad.